the World Cup is the most overhyped sporting event in America.
National viewership for the U.S.-Belgium match alone was bigger than the entire World Series.
MLS and MLB were equally popular. Digging deeper, it turned out that those kids had almost no interest in the actual MLS. They just liked the FIFA soccer video game.
It's inevitable that soccer is going to be one of the bigger sports in this country. It's just taking time.
And my passion is to rid this great nation of America of soccer.
Day one, and I'm already sick of it.
I think the U.S. has found itself a new favorite pastime.
It's the World Cup, bro.
Bro, pull it together. It's the World Cup, bro. Why?
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And download every episode and more at basicallyasportsshow.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Am I watching?
Are you watching the college home run derby?
No, I am not.
No. I figured you'd be all over. It's obscure baseball.
Yeah.
No, guys, I'm watching Major League Baseball. Thank you.
But this guy from Texas Tech is hitting balls with a graphite bat without a hat on.
I think we should have metal bats in the majors. It would make dugout clearing brawls much more interesting.
Well, not only but
thankfully they don't use the metal anymore.
Guys would be getting killed left and right.
They would never use aluminum bats in the majors.
No, I'd quit watching if they did. I can't stand that ping.
That's a horrible sound.
Well,
it's dangerous.
They're not made of aluminum anymore, so the ping is less pingy. It's more kind of...
Yeah.
Boop.
It's still a little bit of a ping.
Yeah,
though.
It's still a weird sound.
Believe me, when I played, I dug the shit out of aluminum bats. It added a good 20, 30 feet to anything I hit, but...
Gave me a successful co-ed softball career.
Yeah, me too. Well, not co-ed, but...
It's got to be co-ed.
No,
the only time I've ever done co-ed softball was when I agreed to play for my friend's library school team. So I was on a team full of librarians who, you know, are not the best athletes in the world. We were playing the kinesiology department, and they're all doing, like,
wow,
sit-ups.
A clash of the Titans.
Well, kinesiology, that's like those are like personal trainers, right? So, like, they're doing, like, sit-ups and jogging in place, and, like, we've got a bunch of librarians who are like, the bat is heavy.
I played on one of those douchebag teams that took it way too seriously for, like, 6 years.
I bet the librarians drew a pretty raucous crowd, too.
We're hitting. Shh. Quiet.
We had one guy, one girl's boyfriend kept showing up, and even though he wasn't on the team, he assumed he was our first base coach, even though no one made him that, so he just started standing next to first base.
We used to play against a team that had, I kid you not, an actual manager.
He
was this guy that was, well, he was probably, I don't know, 20 years older than all of us back then, which would make him about my age now. He would show up and he would have his lineup card and it was the stupidest thing. Oh my God.
Oh, apparently.
He would come out and have conferences at the mound in a softball game.
Really?
Like, yeah. So what are you going to tell him? Your curveball's not working. What are you going to tell a softball pitcher? God, it was stupid.
I haven't checked to see if it's correct yet, but according to Old School Vikings in the ugliest matchup thread, at some point this upcoming NFL preseason, the Bucks will play the Jaguars.
Oh, yeah, they play every year in the preseason. It's
Jesus
like a traditional
Christ.
Thing. Yeah, that's going to be a sight to behold.
Don't televise that one.
It might be the only time ever that the Jags will be the best-looking team on the field.
Mm. And even then, it's more of a wash.
I don't know.
It's more of a wash, really.
That's not to say that they're a good-looking team. They're just better of the two.
It's like two people... Putting like it's diarrhea going in your mouth from two sources. It both just kind of is the same diarrhea.
So,
but it's,
yeah. Mike, I know you're in this, but
yes.
Do you find Lights Out's Kobe hate just amusing at this point?
I love it. It's fantastic.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Obviously, the rape story was too big.
Yeah, obviously they had to cover the rape story because that's a big deal. But I mean, it's all the other stuff. Oh, really? Is that why you hate Kobe? It's all the little stuff.
Admiral was the best. Yes, alleged rapist Kobe Bryant lived a life of total secrecy.
Is Lights Out still convinced that LeBron is going to come to the Clippers this time around?
No, he's just convinced that Kobe is terrible at basketball.
And he's convinced that when Kobe held out to go to the Lakers when he was drafted, that makes him worse. That was a worse move than LeBron's decision.
If I remember right, I could swear I just read this somewhere just a couple days ago that Charlotte didn't want Kobe.
Yeah, Charlotte came out and said that they never really wanted him. And then
when was this?
Oh God,
95.
Okay, so they're not just doing revisionist history then. Oh no, we never even wanted.
Well, they probably are, but
I think Kobe Bryant even came out at one point and said it's like I wouldn't have had a problem playing with Charlotte. Like I don't know.
Well, wait, did the Hornets say this or did the Hornicats say this? Or did the Pelicans say this? I don't want that on the record.
It would be funny if the Charlotte Hornicats came out.
The Charlotte Bobcats said no, we didn't want Kobe in the first place.
Yeah. Like if they just start acting as if they actually were the original Hornets, like, oh yeah, that draft. Oh yeah.
But you know, it's not completely unfathomable because he was a kid straight out of high school, so it's possible that they really didn't want him.
I mean, I'm not sure what that whole story is. I'm just pretty sure that Kobe Bryant wasn't the irredeemable monster Lights Out makes him to be in that situation.
No, probably not. So I've got a serious question, guys.
Yes.
I'm changing the wallpaper on my computer. Should I go with Captain America, The Flash, or I've got a couple of cool Harley pictures. I'll let you guys pick.
Well, tomorrow is the 4th of July, so you could
It's got to be Captain America
gotta
be,
a
right.
little bit.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, happy 4th of July, guys.
Thank you. Happy Canada Day.
Yeah. I was gonna give my Chris Berman bit for the show, but, you know.
Oh, I love that.
I want to be the last to wish you a happy Canada Day and the first to wish you a happy 4th of July.
I love how Chris Berman always gives the CFL, like, just a little bit of time. It's
the
nice.
Edmonton Eskimos.
I'm going to say something that's probably not going to go over well, but I've always kind of liked Chris Berman.
No, so do I.
Yeah. I've never had a problem with Chris Berman.
His shtick is a little played out, but, you know.
Yeah, but.
And he shouldn't be doing play-by-play ever again?
No, not really.
Like they make him do on those Monday night games?
They don't make him do it, I don't think. I think he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Because basically, I've been reading the ESPN book that those guys have all the fun. Huge fucking book.
Yeah, no, I started reading that, but...
It's a beast.
The problem is you have to get through all the business crap in the first few chapters.
Right,
entertaining stuff.
They go through a lot of stuff about, you know, the constantly changing ownership and blah, 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 contracts.
Coming in, like, okay. Great.
But, I mean, Berman, as you know, was there from the beginning. And what happened was, basically, after they shut down NFL primetime due to the whole crap with Monday Night Football and the whole, like, NFL contracts in the early 2000s, I want to say, they basically were like, what can we do to make this better for you? Because that was your baby. Like, he was really mad when they shut down primetime because there was just no point in doing it anymore.
I thought they weren't allowed to do it anymore. Something to do with NBC got first shot at the highlights or something like that?
There was a weird, because there was no like, because basically they moved primetime to a Monday Night Football pre-show, and the whole point of primetime was to run down the highlights of the day's games,
right,
and set up the Sunday night game, which was always on ESPN. However, when the contract went to Sunday night, because it was about Monday night first of all, but then they got into a big debate over. All of a sudden, Sunday night became very coveted, and there was a lot of stuff with, like, Al Michaels and producers and stuff that were like, screw this, we're just going to go to NBC. It's convoluted as hell. But basically, Berman has a lot of pull. He's a ton of pull.
I know Al Michaels actually went to NBC. He was traded for a cartoon character.
Yeah, he was traded for a rabbit.
Yeah,
Mortimer the Rabbit or something.
Something like, he was, because it was something that Disney drew, and that was
Disney
the trade.
Drew, but
it was
drew,
the first Disney cartoon.
But he drew but it when he worked for Universal Studios, so Universal technically owned it. And then Disney was like, "We want, you know, for historical value." And they're like, "Well, what can you give us?"
Yeah,
how about an actual human being with hopes
Al
and
Michaels,
dreams?
Al Michaels was on Bill Simmons' podcast, I guess, 2 weeks ago.
Oswald, it was Oswald the Rabbit.
Oswald, that's it. Go. Yeah, ESPN. If I remember that book right, they really dropped the ball. They could have had. both Sunday and Monday night, but they just they didn't. They just thought we're in, so they didn't negotiate quickly enough. And NBC, was it Ebersol or one of those big
Dick
producers?
Ebersol. Well, basically, what happened was the NFL guys were with ESPN in this building. They were negotiating. And ESPN came out really, really hard. They were like, we're going to play low ball here and blah, blah, blah. And the NFL was so mad that they just, like, left the room. And they walked outside and, like, called Dick Ebersol. We're like, hey, are you still in town? He's like, yeah, I'm across the street. Let's go meet up. And they just did a handshake contract on TV for Sunday night. Came back in the room with ESPN and were like, hey, we just gave Sunday night to NBC. So you can either take Monday night or leave it.
Yeah, and then they ended up getting all the shitty games on top of it. For a while,
right. Well, because Sunday night had flex power and all this stuff. Monday night didn't.
Yeah.
Monday night used to be the premier game.
Monday night gave you like the 0-6 Giants and the 1-5 Vikings with like.
Well,
they get lucky like 2 or 3 times a year, but other than that, it's
believe
still
it or not,
garbage.
It's better than it used to be. When that contract first went through, they got just absolute dogs every week.
Oh, yeah.
They had that, and they had a really – like, they couldn't figure out a booth to save their lives. Because, I mean, once Michaels bailed to go to NBC
– along with the
Kornheiser. Kornheiser and
was Kornheiser, Mike Tirico.
Mike Tirico,
Jaworski?
Jaworski was the second year. First it was the Redskins quarterback.
Theismann.
Joe Theismann. And Joe Theismann and Kornheiser freaking hated each other. But yeah, they went to like a 5-man booth. It was really weird or something. I don't know. But what's weird is reading the book, learning so much about ESPN, like Mark Shapiro, does that name ring a bell to anyone?
Yep.
Yeah.
He destroyed that network while also making it great. Like, he made ESPN into what it is, and they pretty much don't give a positive or negative view of him, but they basically say, hey, all the reasons you hate ESPN are Mark Shapiro, but for the same time, all the reasons you love ESPN, it's him. So it's kind of gone with the good and the bad, but
he was the guy that brought in the ESPN original entertainment stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. The series, the football shows, and the did Sports
Game
Century.
Shows.
Sports Century was what got him.
Sports Century was awesome.
Was he the one who did Who's Now?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah, okay, because that was goddamn ridiculous.
He did a lot of terrible stuff. Yeah.
That was ESPN jumping the shark, in my opinion.
Yeah,
just as a concept.
But, you know, the thing is, though, to be fair, their demo, like in the 80s, they were aiming at, you know, I was right in the middle of their demo, but at my age in 2000 and beyond, they weren't interested in me anymore. They wanted young people, and that's probably why they made a lot of the changes they did.
Well, like PTI and Around the Horn, those were made for like teenagers.
Yeah.
And they were
I still love PTI.
They're
awesome.
Well, they're great concepts, but the problem was they had to waste their time before that by the original like Attitude Era of ESPN2
with the carved 2 into the screen.
Where they tried to give
Olbermann in a leather jacket.
Right. And it's hilarious reading about Olbermann.
Yeah.
Olbermann is hilarious. Strange cat, but I mean, they talk about how he's brilliant, but also people just can't stand him.
Oh yeah, no,
but
he's
really
smart.
Good book.
He's just a dick.
Yeah. If you pick it up. Like, if you can get it for cheap on
I've already read it. Yeah.
Anyone listening, it's really worth your time to read about the network. I mean, cuz it's incredibly exhaustively researched, and these are all, it's not like written per se. It's more like a collection of quotes done in interviews. Really, really good stuff. But I mean, yeah, if you can get past the this oil company bought ESPN and they about shut down, blah, blah, blah. Okay. It's like, I don't care. Just get to the good stuff.
Yeah, at the beginning, the very beginning is interesting because they explain how they put it all together. Then it goes on, about 3 or 4 chapters of just all the business bullshit, and you don't really get into the really meat of it until you're probably a good 125 pages in.
How long have they been owned by Disney?
Not terribly long.
95, I think.
Mid-90s, yeah.
Okay.
Because it was Cap Cities that bought them first, and I think that was a subsidiary of ABC. I don't remember how it all worked out.
Right,
but
that was before it was like an oil company, and then Cap Cities bought them up. But it was Eisner who bought them and ABC, where they basically wanted ESPN. And I don't know. There's a lot of nasty politics and stuff too. It's so weird, the undercurrent of like TV networks and stuff.
Everybody knows each other. It was before 95.
According to Wikipedia, it was Walt Disney Company bought Capital Cities and ABC in 1996.
I was thinking
the Cap Cities thing, I'm almost positive. Because I know what happened when I was working in radio, when I started working in radio in 95. So I think it was 95 when Cap Cities bought them, I think. Look at us, man. Got the old lineup back together, rocking it old school, like way back at the beginning, talking ESPN and stuff.
Woo!
Well, Well, I just figured it's only I'm not really jumping on as much. I figured, well, I'm pretty much done with this book. I want to check it out, talk about it with you guys a little bit. So
I enjoyed the book a great deal, but it was slow at the beginning and it slows down a little towards the end. But the middle, the heyday of the 80s and the 90s and stuff, there's a lot of really good stuff to read in there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Disney bought the Angels in 96, so I guess that kind of lines up.
By the way, I went with the Captain America wallpaper, just in case anybody's wondering.
For as long as it's your resolution, as long as it's the proper resolution.
It absolutely
not
is.
Like, okay,
it's not blurry.
Not a like 640 by 480 image
it's
stretched.
1920 by 1080 HD, and it looks really good.
I still have very sad Temu as my
background.
Very sad Temu.
Do you want to wish him a happy birthday on the show today,
yeah,
Zach?
Happy birthday to the Finnish Flash, Temu Solani. Big 44.
Yeah.
Four plus four equals eight.
You've got right. one more year in you, don't you, Temu?
Nah. Well, the thing, you know why he needs to come back?
Why?
No.
Is because he's won. Because he's worn every single jersey that the Ducks have ever worn.
Except
in
the
their history.
Girl.
Except for these new ones.
You know he's going to come back to be like, he'll drop the puck or something and he'll wear,
he'll wear the jersey out.
They already announced he's going to drop or get his number retired in January. So.
Oh, well, there you go. So he's going to wear it then. They'll be satisfied.
I've loved the slow descent of Andy's hatred of Temu Solani. It's been fantastic.
What are you talking about? I don't hate Temu Solani.
On the board.
No one hates Temu Solani.
On the board, you just sort of like, you just get... You seem irritated at the concept of Temu.
Andy hates the thing, everything around Temu, but not Temu. You can't.
No,
Temu,
no, no. What I didn't like, because this happens every year. It's the 2014 when Andy doesn't like during the playoffs. I didn't like that. Like, oh, we're just rooting for the best story here because blah blah blah. It's it makes sense for Zach because he's just a Ducks fan. But like after that,
like,
I don't know. It's weird for
Well to send his career out on a high note.
Yeah, but I mean, he made the damn playoffs, so he's going to go out on a high note anyway.
Oh,
you know, it's not like
Game 7. That's a low note.
He won a bronze medal.
And we haven't even gotten to the soccer yet.
He won a bronze medal.
Trust me, I'm slightly irritated today, so.
I know you're talking about the story thing. I thought it would have been cool to see. Didn't he score the tying goal in Game 7, Zach, and they gave up the
No, we were down 5-0 after.
Oh, which he scored the, which when did he score the he almost scored a game-winning
game
goal.
One.
Game 1, right.
Yeah, well,
I thought that would have been cool, but it wasn't.
Game 7 was not close.
I thought Game 1 it would have been cool if he had gotten the game-winning goal as a cool story, but it wasn't like I want the Ducks to win the cup because of Temu Solani type thing. It wasn't like that.
Well, plus I was getting used to the whole idea that like, I have to get used to Blackhawks being hated. It's weird. But now, thankfully, the Kings have pissed so many people off that everyone's just going to hate them for next year. It's going
to
be great. Like, the Blackhawks
are
going
to score. To be fair, they had a big assist from their fans in terms of getting people to hate them.
I mean, honest to God,
I'm just
Los Angeles...
the rest of the country now sees this and understands I'm not crazy. No. I don't have this irrational hatred of the Kings for no damn reason.
No, because then Oddball shows up and then, it's just...
The LA Kings were never on my radar, really. I didn't care one way or another about them until this year. And it was just like, man,
welcome
their
to
fans
the show,
are a bunch
guys.
Of flaming douchebags.
And they got rewarded. They got rewarded with the Stanley Cup because they are the fucking
unstoppable dynasty
earn it.
In the making.
Bullshit.
And their
you
cutesy
win your
little Twitter
to be
crap.
Dynasty. You know?
Do they?
I think so. I think you got at least like the Blackhawks. If they had won this year, that's a dynasty because they won. You just can't. What were they? What were the Kings? A sixth seed or three? What were they?
Well, they were a
seed in the division, sixth seed overall.
But they don't seed it 1 through 8 anymore. So
but if they had, they would have been a sixth seed.
Yeah. That's my point. And we talked about this before.
Same with the Rangers, though. So
right. And I just think that you've got to – okay, yeah, winning the Cup is great. Winning two of them out of 3 years, that's really awesome. But to be a dynasty, I think you got to have a little more on your resume than just we won the Cup twice in 3 years. I mean, that's great, but it wasn't great play throughout that got them there is what I'm saying.
I can't wait. Last week they signed Marion Gaborik to that 7-year contract.
Really?
I can't wait till that little carriage turns back into a pumpkin.
Wow, that was a bad move.
I cannot wait. He's going to break his elbow in fucking December, and I'm going to point and laugh. I'm going to laugh at you.
I don't know. Like, Gaborik, how much was it, a lot of money or just a long contract?
7 years.
It wasn't a great deal.
$5 million a year?
I mean, it's a contract he just not deserve at all, considering he's been like kind of pawned off on franchises.
Yeah. Ever,
you know, so it's kind of like, well, I understand rewarding somebody for great play, but
no,
dumb. But hey, whatever.
But, hey, you know.
He had a great playoff. I mean, there's no question about that, but I don't know about giving him 7 years. That's just, I don't know.
listen to us here, all this happily kind of together at the hip about our beloved sport of hockey that we all love so much.
Yeah, that's about to change, isn't it?
Yeah, we all know the reason I'm here. And
well, you're just here because you wanted to do the show.
I'm here. I am indeed. But I,
you're contractually
obligated
to make four appearances a year, I think.
It is written in my retirement package here that I was due for a little mini kind of. I don't know how to do it necessarily. This needs to be sort of. I don't know if you like, because Greg, I know kind of. I don't know if he's where we stand on this. Because at first I thought, Mike, are you pro soccer, Mike?
Me? I still don't understand a lot of soccer, and I honestly have only watched one full game this World Cup.
He's under the banner of the Commonwealth. He's contractually required.
The best I can do is I am contractually obligated for love of queen and country to have a positive. No. I wish soccer the best of luck is my is my position. I don't actively dislike it. I won't go out of my way to trash it, but at the same time, I don't go out of my way to watch it either. So,
and I don't want people to get the idea that I'm here to just tell Zach, no, sir, this is not about that. You're not part of the group that I was addressing with my anger. You're not part of it because you actually are a fan.
The problem is, Andy, you just like to do the wide sweeping, pithy, snarky comments.
Yes.
And unfortunately, you know, those aren't exactly very specific as to what you're going after.
I believe one of the board members described me as an attention whore, which is not entirely incorrect. But,
you did go into the soccer thread specifically to write a post.
No. Okay, when I came in there, I didn't even remember what I said, honestly, but it wasn't like soccer's dumb. It was something that was more like condescending, just a little bit condescending to the sport,
right.
Which, of course, rallies the fucking torches, and everyone gets together wanting to have my head on a stick. I mean, it wasn't to the level of, like, Cujo or something like that,
and
to where it's just reprehensibly dumb.
You got to wait a couple months until after the World Cup. Is asking for the soccer hordes to come for you.
Well, because you know why I did it then? Because that's when it's going to be relevant. Because in a couple weeks, soccer's not going to be relevant again.
Exactly. Look, that's not a knock. That's just a fact, guys.
No, it's not a fact.
I watched a thing with Keith Olbermann the other day talking about going all the way back to like 76 when the North American Soccer League started and Pele came over to play for the New York Cosmos. And I remember back then, as a young kid, everybody saying, soccer's really going to take off in America. Just wait and see. It is now damn near 30 years later, and we're still waiting. It's not a knock on the sport. It's just a simple fact. It's never going to rise to the level in America that people think it's going to. It's just not going to happen.
Here's my problem with that thought. When people are thinking like that, when people like Keith Olbermann are thinking like that, because I watched the same thing you did, Greg, he's thinking that people are saying, oh, well, it's going to be bigger than the NFL, bigger than baseball, bigger than all this. No, no one's saying any of that. We're not saying that it's going to take over the country by storm, but it's going to make inroads. Greg, it's making inroads.
Where?
Everywhere.
Okay, show me some inroads.
I don't have
show
the
me.
Stats in front of me, Greg, but like – okay, it's the most popular sport among youth.
As a video game. And I love playing it
as a
video
game.
Okay.
The numbers of kids playing youth soccer in the country are growing every single year.
It was big when I was in high school.
That is true.
10 years ago.
It does seem like it's always been a popular youth sport, but then it never really
– it never goes
for some reason, it doesn't stick with – for one reason or another, it's just nothing that sticks with kids.
And let's be honest about it too.
Part of that is the way that it's structured. In American sport – people don't necessarily – like if you're a really good athlete and you see that, hey, I can get to the NFL if I go to college and get drafted and play. Or in baseball, I can go to college or go to the minor leagues and work your way up. There's not that same system in soccer. You can't say, oh, well, I'm going to go to college and then I'm going to go to the MLS. Like, because people don't want to play in the MLS. You want to play in the Premier League.
I think Major League Soccer is honestly the biggest stumbling block towards soccer really taking root in the United States and Canada to an extent as well. Because, okay, interest in soccer might grow through the World Cup. But if you're an American fan and you've watched some World Cup and you've decided this is soccer thing is something you want to pursue, you're going to be inclined to watch the best competition possible, and that's right. Not Major League Soccer. Soccer might grow as an interest in the United States, but it's going to be fans who want to watch the Premier League or the top right. leagues in France or Spain or Italy. Major League Soccer isn't suddenly going to leapfrog the NBA because the World Cup got great ratings.
Right, and that's kind of what I mean, is soccer interest is growing. There are more soccer fans in this country than there were, even 10 years ago, 20 years ago when we first started the MLS and we got the World Cup. It's just nobody's – MLS just – MLS isn't a gauge. And I know this is a question that you asked, Andy, like how do we gauge – whether soccer interest is really going to go up.
Right.
MLS isn't the way to gauge it, because every 4 years when there's the World Cup, there's a spike in attendance in the MLS. It always happens.
Sure.
Problem is, those people don't hang on because they realize, oh, well, this isn't the same quality that I just watched in the World Cup.
Like,
this isn't the same quality I can see on Saturdays in the Premier League.
But it's also that this is going to probably irritate you, but it's a fad. Soccer
yep.
became a fad, just like it does the American team. First of all, if the American team lost, if they lost out, if they didn't win a single game or tie a single game, it would have been kind of like, ha, okay. It would kind of would have been a pondering, kind of reflecting, you know, how did soccer do this time? But because they were reasonably successful and like, let's go live to Soldier Field where there's thousands of people. It's popular. It's, oh, America, fuck yeah. Like flags and, oh, yeah, this is so cool. And then it's like, oh, wait, oh, we lost. That's too bad, but we'll get them next year. Oh, wait, there isn't a next year. There's not going to be one for like 3 years. So what are you going to do? Are you a dedicated soccer fan? Are you going to hang on and go watch it?
No.
Going to support maybe a local MLS? Or are you going to become a fan of FIFA International?
I want to jump in with two questions before you. Okay, first off, going back to the interest with kids in soccer, and again, this isn't a knock. Well, I guess it's going to come off as a knock, but let's be honest about it. How much of that interest in soccer with kids is because everybody gets to play and it's easier than the other sports?
Cheap.
Everybody plays in Little League.
No, well, yeah, but not to the same extent. And it's harder to be good at Little League than it is at soccer at that age. My point being is that every kid gets to play soccer. It's real easy. It's cheap. All you need is a pair of shoes, basically. And my second question is, what does it matter if it doesn't become popular? As popular as you want. I mean, it's got a nice
exactly.
niche. What the hell
really
difference
should.
Does it make?
I think what the diehard soccer fan will tell you is because it's so popular everywhere else in the world.
That's because they don't have everything that we have everywhere else in the world.
I understand that. And I see,
well, you understand. Yeah.
What I wanted to do is lay out my position, because you guys want to paint me as the big soccer diehard. And I like soccer. I like soccer a lot.
I never said that.
Well, I'm not talking about necessarily you.
Okay,
Andy.
Okay.
Oh, is it Mike and me?
But I'm an attention whore, so I got to, you know.
Well, what did I do? I wish soccer well, okay?
Look. I've never been of the opinion that soccer will leapfrog anything. Because I'm a huge NHL fan. I wouldn't watch soccer to pass up hockey in terms of popularity, because God knows hockey doesn't get enough attention as it is. But like, if you can't tell me that you see the thousands of people that are in Soldier Field watching that game. And maybe some of them are just there because, yeah, it's a fad, but they want to be cool. Like, everybody's going to Soldier Field to hang out and get drunk and watch the soccer game.
It's Chicago.
But you can't tell me that the thousands of people that you see go to Soldier Field that are going to parks in New York, going to parks in Los Angeles, in Kansas City they kept showing. You can't tell me that out of those crowd, soccer didn't gain any new fans out of all this.
I'm not saying they didn't gain any new fans.
Look at all this.
My point with that, with all that stuff, is real easy to show you a perfect example of that. The Super Bowl gets, what, 100 and some million viewers every year? Now, you can't tell me that all those people are football fans. I just won't believe it, because if that were the case, then the average Bears-Packers game would get 50 million viewers. It just doesn't happen.
It's not equivalent.
It is equivalent. It's the same exact thing. It's a big event, and everybody comes out to watch it, to be a part of it. And then when it's over, that's it. They go back to whatever they were doing. I'm not saying they all do that, but there is a of the people that were at Soldier Field, what percentage of them do you believe walked in not being soccer fans and walked out becoming soccer fans?
It is hard to tell because it's the patriotism thing.
Right.
And people just like supporting the United States. So it's hard to tell what people were there that were soccer fans.
Because
when I first, at the first game, they showed Grant Park in Chicago and the thousands of people there. I was blown away because I'm like, well, there can't be that many soccer fans in Chicago. Like, I know I want soccer to be popular. I think it's gaining popularity, but I didn't think that it would be that many people. And even add on the patriotism, I didn't think that big a crowd would show up for anything regarding that.
There's nothing wrong with being a soccer fan.
Not at all.
I just want to state for the record, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a soccer fan. I don't get it. I mean, that's what the typical response is about people who don't like soccer. I don't hate soccer. I don't hate soccer fans. I just don't get the game. I don't understand why people dig it the way they do. That's fine. It's awesome to be a fan of it. Love it. Support it all you want. But don't fool yourself. That's the thing. It bothers me. There's a lot of people out there who are like, oh, I used to hate soccer, but now I love soccer. It is the best, and it is just going to be big from here. And bitch, bitch, bitch. And then it's like, well, okay. Like, I'll talk to you in a year when you don't care.
Well, but here's my question then. Why do you even need to say that to them?
Well, here's my question.
Why is it every 4 years? Why do we have to have this conversation and then have people tell us, well, no, soccer's not going to become big? Because why does it have to be like this?
Why can't we tell people
that enjoy soccer? Why do we have to – I think it's stupid that the soccer fan has to be like, everyone's going to like soccer now. And then to have the same conversation where people have to come out of the woodwork to tell us, no, it's not going to be good.
It's mutually
– we don't come out of the woodwork. That's the thing. And here's the thing. And I gave it a chance this year. I really did. I watched it. I was actually looking forward to it, believe it or not. My point is that when I come out of it and I say I don't like it, and then I have to get preached at. Well, you don't understand it. You're stupid. You don't get it.
That shit sucks.
No, it's not that. It's just it didn't take for me. And you know what? People say the same thing about baseball, and I fully understand it. I get it because, you know what, unless you grew up with it, it's not a game you're going to fall in love with. And I just feel the same way about soccer. It's something that you've got to have from a very young age. And I get that a lot of people are starting with it at a young age, but like Mike said, it doesn't seem to carry over into adulthood. That's where you're running into the problem.
I'm basically challenging these fringe people who are the people that come in with anything, whether it's a really good football team or just anything like that, where it's like, okay, if you legitimately are becoming a fan of this, legitimately become a fan. Invest in it, devote some time and effort and energy into it. Like, it took me a while to get into hockey, but I did my research, and I watched a lot of games and played the game and stuff like that. And there's plenty of fans who are using FIFA as a tool to learn the game, and it's awesome. But at the same time, I wish people were just a little bit more, I guess, just they feel like
honest.
They should have to yell it.
It's like,
yeah, soccer! Yeah, soccer! It's like, oh, yeah, okay, soccer's cool. Come on. No, you're wrong! Soccer's the best! It is better than your stupid hockey! Oh, God, dude, just calm down.
A good post to exemplify, I think, what Andy's getting at. I won't name names, but there was a poster in a thread on the boards who was responding to all the soccer, maybe not hate, but soccer disinterest, and said, people who say it's boring, they're just not smart enough to understand how each play, you know, builds up to a larger play. And
you
it's like
say
no,
that about any sport, really, no, though.
You could, but at the same time, you know, it's like, no. Okay, this person, you're being an asshole. Because it's one thing to like a sport, but it's another to get up in someone's face when someone else doesn't like the sport. So, right. You know,
I hate pretentious soccer fan. There's plenty of them.
That's part of the problem, you see.
I hate the people that want to call it the pitch and, you know, is he fit? Is he, you know, all the British term.
It entirely relies on context when it comes to, like, if I'm talking to a British person about soccer,
sure.
And then they start saying, oh, the pitch, it's like, well, okay, that's just what you call it. But when you get, like, an American or a Canadian who, you know, became a soccer fan last week, and they're like, oh, the pitch. I'm like, just shut up.
Their side showed great form and pace today.
A point I'd like to make with all this whole thing, okay? I think it's been made pretty clear over 80-some-odd shows now that you guys aren't NASCAR fans, right?
Yeah, I am.
I don't take it personally when somebody says NASCAR sucks or I don't like it. Okay, fine.
NASCAR's for rednecks,
right,
and wife-beating son of a bitches.
Right, it's fine. If that's how you feel, no problem. I don't get bent out of shape. I don't tell you, well, you don't understand it. And there are a lot of intricacies to the sport that if you've grown up with it your whole life, you're going to see things that maybe the average fan doesn't see. But fine, you don't like it, no problem. Same with baseball. That's no big deal. My issue is that if I say I don't like soccer, I get 50 people trying to convince me why I'm wrong not to like it. And that's what drives me nuts.
They've become a very defensive fan base because of assholes like me.
I compared it to hockey fans.
Right. It's similar.
If someone, if It's the same uphill fight with soccer that I fought against all my friends with hockey.
But why do you need to fight the fight is what I'm saying.
I think it's partly because it's something. It's like
everyone loves hockey. I just assume that everyone around me loves hockey.
Yeah, well, if they don't, they're stupid.
But that's the thing. It's like I love hockey. I love every bit of it. I don't see how people couldn't like it. It's fast. It's exciting. And so when someone's like, you know, I don't like hockey, I'm like, how could you not like hockey? You have this and that and that and this, and it's something that you're so passionate about that you don't understand. Like rationally in your head, you can't understand why somebody else wouldn't like it.
Well,
okay.
let me
back you up a second there. I feel exactly the same way about baseball. I'm very passionate about it, but I don't feel the need to try to convert anyone. If you don't like it, fine. I there are plenty of valid reasons not to like baseball. I agree with most of them, but I don't feel compelled if somebody says to me that baseball isn't exciting, it sucks, whatever. I'm not okay. Fine, that's the way you feel. No problem. So that's what I don't get about soccer fans.
Speaking of baseball, I want to tackle Andy's dislike of cricket one of these days.
Cricket is too British. That is its problem.
I think my problem with with most people that I find that just say soccer sucks, my first question is always, well, why? Because some people, they just go out and say, ah, soccer sucks. There's some people like you, Greg, that try to give soccer a legitimate shot, and they go out and watch, and they say, you know what, it's not for me. The pace is a slow-paced game. There's a whole lot of kicking around. It's like, okay, I can see that, and I understand. You gave it a shot, great. You know,
yeah, I did during the last World Cup. I watched during the last World Cup, and that's kind of when I realized it's not my thing.
Right.
So.
Whereas, like, for me, for the longest time, I was the same way, where I just said, oh, soccer sucks. I don't like soccer, mostly because it wasn't popular at the time. And then I watched the 2006 World Cup and I got swept up in it, and now I like soccer. But the one thing I wanted to point out too, with in terms of like the growth of the game and all that sort of stuff, it was something that I saw, actually it was an interview on Olbermann's show. I know we keep referencing him. What they said is that really before 1994, when we hosted the World Cup, the U.S. hadn't had any sort of success at all in soccer. But then we've made 6 consecutive World Cups now. We've slowly but surely gotten better as a soccer team on the whole. And I think it's something that as time goes on, this generation, like I said, 6 World Cups, so 24, that's how old I am. And there's plenty of kids that grow up now, and I think legitimately there are some kids that grow up and say, well, maybe I do want to go play in the World Cup at some point. And maybe those kids are 8, and you won't see them in the World Cup for another 12 years or whatever. But at some point, it's slow. It's a slow growth.
I just don't see soccer ever really becoming anything more than a niche sport, but that's not to say that it can't be successful, because depending on the market, you could say that hockey is a niche sport in the United States as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
you
I guess my question there is, do you think soccer can ever equal hockey in terms of popularity?
No. Probably.
You don't think so?
Nope.
Probably not, just because.
Even though it's more accessible for kids to play, because not everyone has an ice rink.
I don't even know how to ice skate. I've been a hockey fan since the 80s.
Two reasons why.
Not to the extent that I am now, but I have been a hockey fan for 20-some-odd years now. Go ahead, Andy.
Two reasons. One, the best football/soccer – I can't believe I called it football. It makes me sick. is played in different time zones, and right. You can't get a TV contract for that. That'll be really worth it. I'm sure there's a soccer network or something that's probably devoted to watching it.
NBC put a lot of money into soccer. They show the Premier League on Saturday and Sunday mornings.
How are the ratings?
You know, I don't know.
They're good, I thought.
The highest-rated match on NBC for the Premier League was got 1.2 million viewers. It was a scrum between Cardiff and...
You just called it a scrum?
That's what it says here. It was a February 8th scrum between Cardiff and Swansea.
Really? Cardiff and Swansea?
It snagged 1.2 million viewers. That was the most popular...
That seems odd. You would think that like an Arsenal or a Liverpool, Manchester United game.
Maybe it was important to the playoffs or something.
There are no playoffs. Swansea, not really.
I have a legitimate soccer question, by the way, for anyone who might know. Okay, so they might have already played this, but did Germany already play France?
No, Germany and France play tomorrow.
Okay, I was.
Did France immediately surrender?
Here's
the thing, guys. The Americans might have been eliminated, but they're going to have to come in at halftime of the France-Germany game tomorrow. It's going to be fine. We still have a second shot at this.
The French are just going to surrender, and the Americans will have to play the second half.
We'll have to come in and bail their asses out, right?
Well, this is actually a major blood feud, right, between France and Germany.
France and Germany.
No, wait. There was a huge feud about it because, like, I think a German guy.
Four major wars.
I'll find it.
Yeah.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Not soccer.
Yes.
Well, but France and Germany have a long history of just loathing each other as countries.
I thought there was a thing that happened. I heard about this. I'm sorry I don't have the details. But basically there was a player. German goalkeeper Harald Schumacher.
The most German name ever, by the way.
he nearly killed a French defender, Patrick Battison. This is back in 1986. And the French guy was paralyzed from the waist down.
86, and, you said?
Yeah, 86. And apparently this has been, like, they've been, you know, just feuding, like, intensely ever since because, you know, the French have never forgiven the Germans for that guy breaking his neck or whatever. And so apparently the video, it's just incredibly brutal. But then again, this is soccer, so brutality's kind of got to be in context. But
was there any biting involved?
I don't know. But the other point I was going to make about soccer kind of spreading was the other thing we totally all forgot to mention was that social media is changing soccer everywhere.
Yeah.
The effect, because it's like, well, it's the world's game. Well,
right.
Yes, but it's the
you
world.
You can see
all
these
videos of people
celebrating.
Right.
You can get the instant reaction to everybody getting in on that on the hashtags and whatever.
Right.
1986, by the way, is the greatest World Cup because it was the only one Canada ever qualified for.
Beautiful.
That's because, you know why, Mike?
Why?
Because Mexico was the host, so CONCACAF had an extra spot.
Woo!
Canada just kind of got it.
Hey, you take
what
you can
get, man.
The
U.S. didn't qualify for that World Cup.
Right, because we weren't good then. But then we got good.
Go ahead. Well, basically, all I was going to say, my last point about soccer spreading and stuff like that compared to hockey is like, okay, how do I sell someone on hockey? Oh, maybe I sell them on, of course, the first thing you're going to ask about is the fights. How about the big hits? How about the fast game, the exciting goals, blah, 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 this and that, the incredible goaltending, the athleticism, et cetera, et cetera. When soccer, it's like, oh, I have broken my leg. I am not going to finish the game. You must stop playing. Oh, my knee is broken, is shattered. Oh, take me off the field. I cannot play anymore. Oh, my family. I must call my family. Oh, I'm healed.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Unruffled by that minor setback, we try phase two.
Petition for diving is the fucking NBA. So,
and the Vancouver Canucks.
I don't think
the Canucks are even close to. Whoa, wait a minute! You're not allowed to use that anymore.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Did you say Sedin Sisters? Was that Mike?
I did indeed. It was me.
You?
Yeah, man. I dusted
oh
it
my
back
god!
The Sedin Sisters.
This is all great until the Sedin sisters are skating around with the cup next June, you know?
First of all,
this Sedin sisters thing, it needs to stop.
I know, but I'm new to it. I just started
It's a meatball fan thing to say. It's like...
The Sedin sisters.
It's because they're sick because they're girls.
What?
Zach.
Yes, my computer froze or something.
Well, Andy just went back on his own declaration. He used the Sedin sisters, which I'm going to find. I've actually got a clip of you telling me not to use it. I'm going to run them back to back on a promo I'm going to put together.
That's fine. I
anyway, I just
said it, meatball voice. So.
Real quick, we were talking about Premier League ratings. It looks like the average game on the cable networks was about 600,000 viewers, which isn't terrible. I mean, to be honest,
those are the games that are on NBC Sports, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and that's not. I mean, I know it sounds small, but to be honest about it, it's not terrible.
It's also a crappy network,
right? Considering
that's good numbers
NBC
for that network.
Sports,
yeah.
The times that these things are on, like, I would love to watch more Premier League soccer, but the problem is it's on at like 7 a.m. on
right.
a Saturday morning for me.
Well, see, right here it says Premier League triple header Saturday on MSNBC Sports Network begins at 7 a.m.
Ugh.
And features Chelsea versus Tottenham at 12:30 p.m.
Uh-huh.
That's
Tottenham.
The most
what?
British sounding two teams.
Chelsea and Tottenham?
Chelsea and Tottenham.
What did I say? Tottenham?
Bully.
I just pronounce it like a Midwesterner would. Tottenham.
Tottenham?
Tottenham, baby.
I like Tottenham places.
Well, hell, I almost pronounce it like a hillbilly would.
Well, Zach, did you hear my diatribe regarding basically soccer becoming equal to the NBA in terms of diving?
No, go ahead and do it again.
Yeah, do it again.
My leg, my knee is broken. Anyway, basically, soccer diving is becoming a major problem when trying to get people to enjoy the sport.
Right.
It's becoming a problem in the NBA, too, but soccer is becoming kind of known for
it. You know, it's the thing that's funny once you watch the games, some teams do it a hell of a lot more than others.
Like the Italians.
Oh, I can't watch it. I used to love watching the Italians play,
the
but I can't.
Cheating Italians.
I can't anymore. They fall down, Mike. Look at them funny. Like, it's so bad. Whereas, like, you look at the Americans when they're playing, none of them fall down. They keep fighting through it because we're Americans and we fight.
Italy hasn't won a war on their own since, like, the goddamn Roman Empire. So, of course, they use underhanded tactics because they're cheating Italians.
Mike has a problem with Italy, Andy, if you haven't been keeping up with the show lately.
Italy sucks. I'm just going to put it out there. They make great food, and they made, like, a really terrible movie with Julia Roberts. But otherwise, it's been
that piece of crap.
Which movie? Otherwise, what was that movie?
What was that movie?
Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see that. And I'm usually someone that will watch the occasional chick flick.
I'm Julia Roberts, and I'm sad. I'm going to go to Italy. Oh,
the entire point of that movie was that Julia Roberts was having a midlife angst crisis, and then she moves to Italy, has a really good plate of pasta, and suddenly she wants to live again. That was the entire point.
Congratulations, guys. We have gone from what the hell were we, ESPN to Eat, Pray, Love. Congratulations, we did it.
That's beautiful. That,
anyway,
folks, is the very essence of this show.
I mean,
how we roll up here,
Zach,
in this bitch.
Get us on track, buddy.
Do you guys have anything else that you want to dissect about
soccer in general?
I do, actually.
Before I give my eulogy about the U.S. team, and then we can move on to other things.
I have one thing I'd like to say.
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. Just reading one of Zach's posts on the Kramer boards, I noticed that Zach kind of revealed some of his allegiances in various soccer leagues. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to point out, go Rangers FC. Zach gets it.
Mike and I are now engaged in a blood feud.
We are.
As of right now.
There's a blood feud.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
To explain it.
And just like in most things in soccer,
really
no one else will pay any attention to it.
I'll explain it really quickly. It's in Scotland, in Glasgow. There's two main teams. There's Celtic FC and Rangers FC. And Rangers represents the Protestant crowd, whereas Celtic represents the Catholic crowd.
Yeah,
and when those two teams play each other, but thankfully Rangers got caught for what the hell were they doing?
Lynching people? Oh,
no, but they got severely punished. They actually got knocked down two tiers of the league, so they had to fight their way through two different leagues
coming back
just to get
up,
back
Lo.
Up.
Wouldn't you think about it though? I would think that if I were on a middle of the pack team in that league, I'd want to get knocked down so we could win.
Yeah, no,
the worst league, you win a couple championships.
That is true. Before the Rangers got knocked down, it was always either Rangers or Celtic were just those were like the only two teams who ever won anything in the Scottish Premier League.
Yeah, the Scottish Premier League, they made a decision a while ago to not join up with the rest of the English teams because they wanted to be Scotland and different.
Do they play in kilts?
No.
Well, I just say move the two Scottish teams that people care about into the EPL.
The two things I want to say. Oh, go ahead, Mike. You got one last thought?
Yeah, well, one last thought. Just kind of going back to give listeners who might not be fully aware of the situation. Usually, when Celtic or Celtic, however you want to say it, whenever they play the Rangers, Rangers FC in Glasgow, like, you need a police presence in the stadium to avoid fans from murdering each other.
Yeah, no, it's called the Old Firm, and it is a great little soccer game.
I just wanted to finish my final thoughts on soccer. Like Andy said, I wish it all the luck in the world. Good. If it becomes popular, great. All I'm asking is two things. First off, go back to the cool ball with the little hexagons on it.
That's
those are
all
cool.
That you need to do to get Greg on board, soccer. Bring that ball back.
There's that. But the second thing is that if I say it's not for me, just leave it at that. I'm not rooting against your sport. I'm just not paying any attention to it. And I think I should be allowed to do that. That's all I'm saying. Thank you and good night.
I think soccer's boring, and I'm happy that it's growing, allegedly, but I wish people would remove their heads from their asses and be honest with themselves about their fandom.
I just want to quote Andy really quick here. from the post that probably got all this started. I've been doing this crap for years about the Cardinals, the Cowboys, Miami Heat, yet the first time I dare mention my pleasure at soccer's inevitable return to the background, it's as if I've set an American flag on fire or cut a bald eagle's head off. I just thought that was well said.
Thank you.
But I
told Andy why it's different.
We caught off Mike again.
Go ahead, Mike.
But no, I just I want to say this because Zach was going to go into his eulogy for the U.S. national team, and there's one thing I posted on the boards, but I kind of want to say it on the show, and it's directed at Americans kind of across the board when it comes to soccer fandom. I saw a lot of people when the U.S. lost to Belgium, a lot of American fans who had previously been really into the rah, rah, rah Team USA stuff say, oh, well, won't care for 4 years. And to those people, I'm not even necessarily a soccer fan. I want to say to those people, go fuck yourselves. Because if you care enough during the tournament to go USA, USA, and to brag when the U.S. national team does well, then you don't get to play the, oh, well, don't care card when they lose. In for a penny, in for a pound.
To be fair, every 4 years, we all get fired up for curling in the Olympics. Love it. I don't even care who's
different.
Playing. How is it different?
Because we can't watch curling here.
Sure you can.
Oh, where?
On
don't,
CBC.
Don't include me in this.
On CBC, right, Mike? It's on CBC, right?
You can get
okay,
curling.
But I don't get CBC.
You can watch it on the internet.
CBC won't let me watch CBC down
there. Well, I'm sure there's a curling video on YouTube somewhere.
I'm sure there are illegal curling streams that you can
see.
And odds are you're not going to get in much trouble because I'm pretty sure no one cares.
No one's going to come down on you for illegally pirating curling.
If ESPN showed curling, you know damn well I'd watch it.
Oh, I would too.
My whole point, though, is that if you want to buy into the whole World Cup thing every 4 years and you want to go USA, go USA, fine. I don't care. It just strikes me as douchey to come off as the most uber patriotic dude bro chanting go USA, go USA when they're winning. And then as soon as they lose, go, oh, well, I never cared in the first place. It not only does it make you look like a douche, but it honestly gives legitimate fans of the sport a bad name and a bad image.
Okay.
And I just, kind of what I've seen this World Cup, the United States, both the men's team and sort of the American fan base kind of made a name for themselves this World Cup. Apparently FIFA has been so impressed with the United States' response to this World Cup that they're looking to be in line for the 2026 tournament?
Yeah, except for the fact that we're going to get it in 2022
because Qatar
is not keeping that damn World Cup.
Point being, I wish soccer well. I'm happy that it's kind of growing in the United States, but American soccer fans are kind of fighting an uphill battle on the world stage. And they just kind of don't need douchebags who act like the most stereotypically annoying Americans possible, only to then go, oh, well, don't care.
Well, go ahead.
Well, just I'm going to do one full wrap up and then we can move on.
I was just
going
to say, can you do that so we can move on to a real sport? I mean, to something else.
Okay. See, but this is what I'm talking about.
I was joking.
This is what I'm talking about.
I was
joking. Breaking NBA news also. So.
No, there's not. Shut up.
Yes, there is. I swear to God there is.
No, I don't want to. I know what your NBA news is and I don't want to hear it.
I mean, it's not really news. It's kind of.
He's a guest. He gets to throw a topic out if he wants.
Yeah.
It's just Carmelo Anthony got an offer from the Knicks. That's all. $129 million. It's a big amount of money.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about the Lakers. Anyway.
No, I already said that.
Kind of going along with what Mike said with the people that they root for the USA and then go away. I'm not ashamed to say that the U.S. men's national team is my favorite soccer team. It's really the only team that I find that I can truly throw myself behind and kind of follow and get into it and really root for them. Because we already mentioned MLS, I try. Every 4 years, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna watch Galaxy games. And I've watched them on TV. I've yet to actually go. I think I might actually go to one next month just to really see if I'm missing out on something or I'm not picking up something. But MLS doesn't grab me. We talked about the start times for the Premier League. Even though I did pick a Premier League team for dumb reasons.
I know the movie you're referencing, and that is not a dumb reason. That is a brilliant reason. That movie's awesome.
I thought Manchester United was a made-up soccer team because they were in the movie Euro Trip, and they had this misadventure with some soccer hooligans. That's hilarious.
My baby takes the morning train. Sorry.
Right, but they don't.
Well, all right, let's get on with the eulogy.
Anyway, if you were grabbed by the U.S. soccer team, don't go away. There's still plenty of stuff. There's the Gold Cup next year. In 2 years, there's the Copa America. Women's World Cup is next year.
Women's sports law.
I know. WNBA joke.
Let's get Hedley Lamarr on.
I was just going to say, what a shocker that the board's biggest misogynist doesn't like women's sports. I can't imagine, but I don't want to get too inside baseball here, so let's just move on.
With the U.S. team itself, the game against Belgium, Tim Howard was a god.
You got to hit the empty net. It's as simple as that.
Tim Howard did all he could.
I like Tim Howard. He's got Tourette's. Good on him.
he does yell at his defenders, but he's just trying to keep them focused. They fought hard, and that I think that's the biggest thing that we said about the U.S. team. There's a lot of these different national teams that they get their identity. The Italians are floppers. Germany is a well-oiled machine.
Of course.
They always are.
Right. Let's see.
Awkward.
Spain, they're passing and all that sort of stuff. But the U.S., I think what they've shown, and I've seen a lot of international soccer writers take note of this, whether they're in the States or abroad. This is a team that fights all the time, and I'm really proud of the way that they played. Yeah, they if you look at it overall, yes, they went 1-2-1. You can take it overall like that. I'm proud of the way this team played, and the youth that was shown, they're going to be good in the future. I have nothing but hope and confidence in the U.S. program, especially what Jurgen Klinsmann's done, kind of changing the culture and really advancing this team's expectations and structure. They got out of the group of death. Nobody thought they would. They did. But Tim Howard, amazing. Go USA. I believe that we will win someday. Just not today.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen,
and quickly around the rest of the World Cup.
Really
Really,
I'm going to edit it out.
The Netherlands is going to beat Costa Rica. Colombia is going to beat Brazil. You heard it here first. And Germany is going to dismantle the French.
Okay.
And as they always do, as is tradition.
With that, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our World Cup.
And Argentina is going to beat Belgium.
Are my team still left? Like Cameroon, Ivory Coast?
No, Cameroon, actually.
I had to ask.
No. They're being investigated for match fixing.
Oh, beautiful.
Because
my kind of guys.
They played so terribly and lost all three games. Their international
nobody body could suck this bad.
I really picked the winners, don't I?
FIFA's not looking into it, but the actual country itself is looking into
it. There's still Brazil, Greg. You can still root for
Fred and Joe.
But they're going up against Colombia, who's looked fantastic. They're fun. Colombia's a fun soccer team. James Rodriguez, he's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, we're going to move on to something other than the World Cup. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Zach's tab.
Zach's tab.
Yeah, you know, not a really interesting week. I had a bunch of tabs about the U.S. soccer team ready to go, but
no.
You know, we had people that decided otherwise. Really, the only thing, just because this is interesting, our favorite.
Well, back up. What are you having to tabs for soccer?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just more stuff about Tim Howard. And
he's a goalie, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 16 saves, most of the World Cup games since 1950.
Boom! Really? Only 16?
That's a lot.
Hey, that's
a lot for soccer. That's a lot for soccer.
And I'm not saying this.
Average save number for a soccer goalie is like 6 or 7.
Really? Well, so 16 is really damn impressive then.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Like I said, the average number is 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe.
So that's like, say, a 40
that's
or 50
like a
save. Yeah, for
saves.
A hockey goalie. Wow.
Hockey goalie.
Well,
yeah.
Now I am impressed.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah. He has Tourette's. Good on him.
People always ask him, like, why are you always yelling at your defender? He's like, I'm just trying to keep him focused.
Well, okay. I've never been a soccer goalie, but as a hockey goalie, I can say that defense are generally a nuisance and do more harm than good.
Actually, hey, right. In fact, in the Premier League playing for Everton, Tim Howard actually scored a goal once.
Really?
Yeah.
That's got to be really hard to do for a soccer goalie because you got to kick that thing a hell of a long way.
It was actually a goal kick, so he kicked it from his end of the field, and the wind was kind of swirling, so the ball carried farther than the other goalie thought it was going to. It bounced, and the goalie had come out because he was going to try to grab it, but it bounced, and he was like caught in between, like, ah, crap! It just kept sailing over his head and into the net. So
cool.
It's a fun video if you go find it, because you know, he wants to celebrate, but he's like, I feel bad for the other goalie, so he doesn't really celebrate all that much.
Well, that's what I mean. How long is a soccer field? It's longer than a football field, right? A
little bit longer.
That's still, though, I mean, to kick it from, and he has to stay behind a certain line, right, to kick it?
To kick a goal kick? Yeah, goal kicks are, you see the box.
Right.
They put it at the top of the box. They have to put it on the lawn.
The top of the box.
Poor Zach.
I'm done.
Hockey's worse when it comes to puns.
I remember years ago, there was a rumor that CBC was going to do an original series, and it was going to be a sitcom with the premise of being, like, the first openly gay hockey player in the NHL.
Toronto!
And he would be, like, the main character. And there's a rumor they were going to do this thing. And when it was announced, there were so many names for titles.
Oh, God.
My favorite was Too Many Men on the Ice.
The interesting thing with soccer field dimensions is they're not there's no uniform soccer dimension. The new New York City team that's coming in, they're going to play in Yankee Stadium. So they're probably going to have a shorter field, but it's going to be a little bit wider.
It's a New York City FC, right?
Right. Yeah. They're owned by Manchester City. So
see, now in that Olbermann video we've been referencing all night, he said that they needed to stop calling teams they said that Americanize it more. I like the name FC. I think it's cool.
Some of the suggestions he had in that video, making the game more American, that's what MLS tried when they first started, and everyone hated it.
Major League Soccer almost went under trying to Americanize the game. Major League Soccer only really achieved any level of stability once they started making it a more traditional league.
They had some of these terrible names, the Dallas Blaze.
Tampa Bay Mutiny.
The people that were actually soccer fans that were like, hey, a soccer league in America, I like this. And they went to go watch it. They're like, this isn't soccer.
You know, the local team here, Toronto FC, never once have I thought, oh, they need to change the name. You know, Toronto FC, it's fine.
To go back, way back to the beginning of the show, I forgot to bring this up. But the thing with soccer for me, like with hockey, it took a while, but I finally had my holy shit moment where everything clicked and I went, I get this. And I've not had that with soccer yet, and I've tried. I've really tried to, like, look at it and go, okay, what am I missing here? What's am I not getting? And I just – maybe it'll happen. I'm not saying
you
it won't.
Did it,
you were talking about this in the chat before the call started, and I think I know how to get Greg interested in soccer. Vince McMahon needs to start the Extreme Soccer League.
Yeah, there you go.
The XSL, and Greg will be all over it. You just, like, introduce wrestling, like, drama into the world of soccer.
Well, you see, I used to be one of those people that was just like, soccer sucks and it's stupid, you know, but that's really not fair.
I hate that people just go blindly say, well, that sucks. Like, soccer sucks. Hockey sucks. Okay, great. Or, because the thing that I love about people always like to remind me, because, you know, Greg, you're my friend on Facebook. You see I put a lot of hockey posts.
Yep.
So every once in a while somebody would be like, until it's like, oh, it's like, too bad nobody cares about hockey. It's like, well, obviously I care. I'm a person. There are plenty of people. There were 17,000 other people at the game. I'm sure they cared.
See, that's the thing. But you get it with every sport, except probably the NFL, because if you don't like the NFL, you're ostracized in American society. Yeah. I remember some of the stuff. Like it's too bad people don't care about hockey. That even pissed me off.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can't. It's just bullshit. But so I try not to be as dismissive of it as I used to be. But I'm trying. It's just not grabbing me yet, but I might one day have that moment where I go, oh, wait, I understand it now.
Don't worry. When we win the World Cup in 4 years, Greg, you'll come around.
We'll see. All right, what's next?
Well, we'll go from one football to the other. Our favorite football team.
The official football team. The official football team of basically a sports show.
Yes, the Los Angeles Kiss.
Better believe it.
Or sorry, it's not the full Los Angeles. It's the LA Kiss.
Yeah!
They made a trade this week.
Really?
They acquired veteran quarterback, J.J. Raderink.
Oh, you know this one!
Now, Mr. Raderink has had an interesting trip around the AFL this season. Raderink started off the season with the Kiss, but he was traded from L.A. to Jacksonville, to the Jacksonville Sharks, in a deal that netted the AFL's all-time passing leader, Aaron Garcia. Well, he then gets traded from Jacksonville to Iowa. The Iowa Barnstormers.
Ah, yes, Kurt Warner's old team.
Best helmets in football.
Yep.
And, I wouldn't go that far. They're not bad, but it's a really cool concept, but not the best.
Yeah. The Sharks traded Rattering to Iowa, where he saw action in 6 games. But not working out in Iowa either. So then he was traded to Philadelphia on Monday, completing future considerations from a previous trade. And then he was traded from Philadelphia back to Los Angeles to again satisfy future considerations from another trade that happened earlier in the season.
So he ended up where he started.
Is it possible that somewhere along the way he got traded for himself? Because it sounds like it could have been.
Well, he was traded from L.A. to Jacksonville to Iowa to Philly back to L.A.
Okay. I'm assuming he's not our starter, right?
Well, he's one of 3 quarterbacks. Raderink is there. Aaron Garcia is still there. And rookie quarterback Kenny Guyton are currently on the
– Kenny Guyton, former Ohio State Buckeye.
Yeah.
How about that? A lot of people thought Kenny Guyton was better than Braxton Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He appeared in 22 games with Buckeyes, with 2 starts in his college career.
And he did very well in both of them, if I remember right.
He completed nearly 69% of his passes with 14 touchdowns and just 2 interceptions.
Well, now I've got an even bigger reason to be an LA Kiss fan, Kenny Guyton. All right.
There you go.
And just while we're talking about the official football team of Basically a Sports Show, a new reality series called Fourth and Loud about the LA Kiss will be coming out on AMC.
Of course there's a reality show. Because
it premieres Tuesday, August 5th on AMC.
Because, God forbid, there be a marketing opportunity that Gene Simmons actually passes up.
Yeah, the LA Kiss, 3-11 so far this season.
Oh, not so good.
But because of how small the Western or the National Conference is, a.k.a. the Western Conference, they're actually in 2nd place in the division.
So they could get a playoff spot going 3-whatever.
Let me see.
Didn't they win their first 2 games or something like that? I mean, they started out well.
Yeah, they won the first 2 games.
Well, we'll see how long Paul and Gene Sanderson and these guys, if they suck.
Arena football is a fickle bitch mistress. She's going to turn on you.
The top 2 seeds are the 2 division winners. The next 2 teams are seeded by the next 2 best overall records.
Oh, too bad.
Actually, oh my goodness.
Don't tell me they can make the playoffs.
They're a game out of a playoff spot.
If they somehow manage to win the Arena Bowl, you know they're going to have the most kick-ass championship parade.
I just can't begin to tell you how ridiculous this is. Kiss is such a ridiculous band. I think that's what I like about them. They really are. If you think about them for just a second, all the stuff that they've gone through, and all the things that you hear about them, I don't remember any other band ever having anything close to a history resembling this. It's just ridiculous. They're just such an absurd thing. But I love them. What can I say?
I maintain that I thoroughly enjoyed their show at the outdoor game in L.A. between the Ducks and Kings.
Oh, you know this one!
I enjoyed it for perhaps all the wrong reasons, but I still enjoyed it.
The thing that the I don't want to go too far off on a Kiss tangent here, but the thing about this band, when they first came out and up until the song Beth, they were like this really good band, and then it just blew all to hell, and I don't know what happened for the next 30 years, but they used to be dangerous, and they were like not what they are today by any definition.
Didn't you say like they used to be like this dangerous band, and then they became the band that like people that like moms brought their kids to?
Yeah, the first time I ever got to see them was on the Dynasty tour, which at that point they had become a kiddie band. I'm standing there, and I've been a Kiss fan since like 74 or whatever. I was like 12 years old, I guess, and I finally get to go see them, and it was just absurd. It was like watching a Vegas review. And it was nothing but 5 and 6 year olds around me. I thought, man, and I that was it. I walked out, and I was pretty much done with them until they got back together in '96. But anyway.
By the way, our good friends of the AFL, despite them having standings to determine playoff spots, they have a coaches poll. Yeah,
AFL coaches poll.
They have a top 10.
Are our boys in there anywhere?
No, they're not.
That's too bad.
But in 2nd place, Greg, your hometown Cleveland Gladiators.
How are they doing?
13-1.
Whoa.
You know,
Cleveland
I'm
might
saying,
get that championship after all.
Top spot in the AFL's other conference.
I'm just saying, Cleveland, you know, maybe dump the Browns because looks like you got a winner here.
Yeah. That's, you know, they'll finally get that championship they haven't had since 64. There you go.
God, the AFL, some great names. Pittsburgh Power.
Oh. While we're talking
Spokane
about
Shock.
That.
Somebody Philadelphia Soul
brought up a thread on the boards about the singular name. What do you guys? I think he said something like, "What do you guys think?" I just said they suck. I don't like any of them.
I was thinking about this actually when I saw that thread, and here's how I kind of rationalize my dislike for them. Okay, Phil Kessel is a he plays for the Maple Leafs, right?
Right,
right.
And he is a Maple Leaf.
Toronto. Right.
Steven Stamkos plays for the Tampa Bay Lightning, but what is he?
He is a Lightning.
Is he a Lightning? Is he because the team name is?
I think.
Of the singular names, Lightning isn't
is
the worst.
A Lightning?
The worst
he
of the bunch.
He is a Avalanche.
That see, but who is it that brought up? They could have been called the Avalanches, as in plural. Was that McCarthy? I think said that.
Yeah, that Avalanches plural is actually. But here's the thing: they're nicknamed the Avs, so they're.
So you could call him. He's an Av.
Yeah, but I don't.
He is a Miami Heat.
Yeah, I just don't like it. It's just
he is a member of the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
The only one I'm okay with, mostly for the absurdity, is the Utah Jazz. Because I love seeing like people's brain explodes, and every time the board gets a new member, they have to post, "Hey, has anyone suggested that the Jazz
and
the Hornets should change the names?"
We could do because
it's the Beehive State.
But we can't do that anymore.
We could do a whole show on what new members of the boards do—the same old stuff over and over and over again every single time.
My favorite logo is the Packers. What's your favorite logo?
And those
guys,
threads are getting
the Red Wings. The Red Wings nameplates here in the preseason games are flat and not radially arched. What's up with that?
Are the Steelers taking the numbers off their helmets this year? It's just it's like oh my god. Anyway, we got anything
else?
What
are the top 10 jerseys of your favorite team?
Well, those threads are getting way out of hand. It's like now it's the latest one I've seen is celebrity fans of your team.
I think Kristen Stewart is according to that thread, Kristen Stewart is a Brooklyn Nets fan.
Somebody put Leo DiCaprio as like a fan of Louisville. Hmm. And I remember reading an article a while back where Leonardo DiCaprio is probably a fan of every team because he's been photographed at like Laker games wearing like 20 different hats
for
different colleges.
Maybe he just really likes hats.
I think he just
doesn't know
hats.
What they stand for.
Yeah. If you cut me on, let's say, over a 2-week stretch, okay, you'd go, well, he is a Pirates fan. Oh, he's an Angels fan. Oh, he's a Houston Astros fan. Oops, he's a, what else do I have in there? Detroit Tigers fan. So, oh, he's a St. Louis Cardinals fan.
So is Greg what you posted, Zach, the fan who is a fan of every team?
No, I just like hats. I have a lot of hats and I wear them. Okay, just to give you an example of these threads, I'm talking about years where multiple of your favorite teams, hated teams, win championships. I don't even know what that means. Your favorite seasons of all time, okay? Your favorite team's Mount Rushmore, your personal sports calendar. What piece of commentary, is special to you? The worst team ever as a fan in your lifetime. Singular or non-plural team names. The worst day of your life as a sports fan.
Worst day of my life as a sports
fan. You never cared for celebrity fans of your team.
So, worst day of my life as a sports fan is great for the people who start referencing crap that happened before they could actually remember it.
Yeah, by the way, I just looked up. If you just type in Leo DiCaprio and hats, the second article is titled, "Maybe Leonardo DiCaprio Just Likes Hats."
Yeah.
Because we've got, let's see, Arizona State, Florida Atlantic, South Carolina, Virginia Commonwealth, Georgia, Louisville, Rice, UCLA, Long Beach, Notre Dame, Michigan, Washington State, Notre Dame.
He doesn't know what any of these hats represent. He probably just likes, I like that hat.
I can't be the only one of us that gets stuff other than their favorite teams, right?
Oh, no. I actually have
I have stuff. I just don't wear it.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you guys remember it. That awful Pittsburgh Penguins jersey that became their dark jerseys for a while that looked like it was patched together from three different jerseys. The black one, but then it was black, but it had like the gradient chest stripe.
Yes. Oh, yep.
Yeah, striped shoulders.
Their first third jersey. Yeah.
I actually own that.
Good
on you, Mike.
I've got a ton of football jerseys and especially baseball hats, but because I've got a shitload of I've got an Expos hat.
I've got a red Minnesota Twins cap, and I've got a Chicago White Sox cap.
I've got a Cincinnati Reds
cap. I
collect
hockey jerseys. They're comfortable.
Yeah, I've got a few. I've probably got like four Rangers jerseys and Blue Jackets. And, of course, the crown jewel of my collection, my Cleveland Crusaders jersey. Anyway.
I have 12 Ducks jerseys now.
Wow.
Damn, I gotta get another one this season.
Do you have a Wild Wing jersey?
I do. It was actually the first jersey I ever had as a kid. Is that it doesn't fit me, but
which one is that? Is that the
It's the one with the giant cartoon duck on the front
and like ice cubes and stuff around it or something?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, not ice cubes, but he broke out of the ice.
Right.
So
yeah.
Exploding.
Yeah, that was a real real high point in jerseys there with that one.
That game where they played the Kings and the Burger King jersey and they were wearing the Wild Wing jersey, I was kind of hoping that they would have pulled those jerseys out of mothballs for the outdoor game.
No, but you saw the Kings minor league team, the Manchester Monarchs.
Yeah, they got their own version.
Every year they have a thing where the fans, I guess this is slightly new, but I guess over the last 3 years, the fans get to vote on an old Kings jersey for the minor league team to wear.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and so
cool.
This year they put the Burger King jersey as part of the options. And of course, what won in a landslide? The Burger King jerseys.
The Burger King jerseys, the fact that they made the greatest hockey player of all time wear those things.
Yeah, Gretzky had to wear that.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Pick incoming, Greg. Take a look at this. Just soak that image in.
Okay, here we go. Oh, my God. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Greatest player in the world.
Yeah.
They put him in that.
Oh, man. I forgot about those. I was thinking Burger King jerseys. Yeah. I remember those now. We
anyway,
got anything else?
Oh. Well, just a quick note, because we're talking about the NHL. We don't have to go – I'm not going to talk about all the signings, but Western Conference is scary. All the free agents went to the Western Conference.
Of course they did.
Yes. Yeah, so, hey, Greg, enjoy the Blue Jackets winning the Eastern Conference next season.
I love it.
Nobody else apparently wants
to. I love it. And they're scrappy. They'll get in there and they'll play tough against whoever's going to sweep them in the finals.
You know who did surprisingly well in the draft?
Who?
Winnipeg.
Did they?
Winnipeg, like, again.
I think Winnipeg's got something going up there.
Winnipeg's got it built with the draft, though. They need a goaltender. Pat.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing they're missing now. Like, if you look at Winnipeg, you know, it's feasible that they could make some noise, but they just need someone in net.
I was convinced that's where Jonas Hiller was going to go, but I guess he wants to go to Calgary and lose instead.
Yeah, like, I don't – like, what? Okay, so
– Oh, did he leave the Ducks?
Long-term –
Yeah, the Ducks didn't offer him a contract.
Long-term, yeah. Calgary's more attractive than Winnipeg? I don't see it. You're both on the Canadian prairies. You're both surrounded by wheat.
Some of the Ducks fans didn't like what he said in his first interview in Calgary. I didn't take it as a slight because I thought that nothing he was saying was wrong.
What'd he say?
But somebody asked him, like, oh, well, how do you feel about coming here to play in Calgary? He's like, oh, it's going to be fun to play in a city where the hockey fans really care about the team and are really knowledgeable about the sport.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay, Calgary is Canada. They really do care about their team and they are very knowledgeable about the sport.
Yeah, but come on.
That's no slight. And any Ducks fans, yes, there are good, strong numbers of us that are smart and know what we're talking about. But on the whole,
yeah,
our fan base sucks. The Kings fans walking in there.
But
it's gonna it's gonna be so much worse next season. It's gonna be so bad. There's gonna be so many of them.
Well, you've been through it once before.
No, it's gonna be worse. Greg, you don't understand.
I'm beginning to understand, believe me.
It's going to be so bad.
Now, Greg understands when, you know, Pittsburgh fans show up to Columbus. And
no, I'm beginning to understand the Kings fans. God almighty, what
sucks,
a bunch
the
of –
The thing that sucks
imagine
is even if we beat them in these regular season games, they're still going to be like, oh, yeah, well, we have two cups and you have one. And I'm going to be like, you suck. I hate you.
Well,
because
I'll tell you,
your entire team's success was waiting around until Philly decided to cut everyone to sign Bobrovsky.
Yeah. Who's Columbus going to trade next year to make you good?
No one, I hope.
Jackasses.
Well,
yeah,
I promise you,
finals.
if the Kings end up facing my scrappy Blue Jackets in the finals next year, I promise we'll try to win at least two games.
Nah, see, what's going to happen is everyone's going to get on board the Blue Jackets, but then they're going to create like a dynasty, and then in like 5 years, we're going to be sick of them.
I can't wait. That'll be awesome.
And Andy will come on like, I fucking hate the Blue Jackets.
Well, I don't know. You know, if everybody's headed west, and I don't think the Blue Jackets have anybody that's on the market to begin with. And secondly,
maybe that's why the Red Wings wanted to move east. They saw this coming, and they're like, no, we can
keep. It's funny.
We can't keep our playoff streak alive if we stay here.
But you know how Detroit was always the landing spot for the veterans at the end of their career that wanted another shot at the cup?
Yeah.
People actually turned down the Detroit Red Wings.
Wow.
They're on the way out.
Yes.
They're finally on the way out.
I hate you, Detroit. I hate you so much. I can't wait. Even if the Maple Leafs don't make the Stanley Cup, don't make the playoffs when you inevitably miss it, that will still be one of the greatest playoff moments of my life, just to see that Detroit has not made it.
We got anything else, guys?
I've got nothing. What are your 4th of July plans, Greg?
I'm going to go to there's a festival in town. We're going to go out and ride the motorcycles around for a while tomorrow, and then go over to the festival and watch the fireworks.
Oh. Mike, what about you? 4th of July plans? I'm sure there's some firework display.
You guys probably don't even have the day off tomorrow, Canada, do you?
No, they get the day off to celebrate their benevolent neighbors to the south.
Right.
That we allow them to survive. Exist.
It is actually weird. We will still be getting fireworks because people started buying fireworks like last week. So I've heard fireworks. I heard fireworks for like at least a week leading up to Canada Day, and I've even heard a few today. So I suspect that we'll still have some tomorrow.
You guys actually do fireworks for Canada Day?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Did the Blue Jays wore their red uniforms?
Yes,
right?
They did.
Yeah. They did.
Did you see Don Cherry's suit?
Yes, I did.
Did you see Greg Zahn's suit?
No, I missed that.
Well, Greg Zahn and Don Cherry were on the same desk wearing inaccurate or just these elaborate red and white Canada Day suits.
I'm looking it up now because John, if he could have got, oh wow, yeah, okay, yeah, he, you know what? Good on you, Greg. You matched Don Cherry suit for suit.
That's saying something, folks.
Yeah.
Well, what about you, Zach? What are your plans for the celebration of the greatest nation in the world tomorrow?
The celebration of our great victory over our British colonial fathers. Yeah, one of my good friends, his birthday is actually July 4th, so we always go over to his house and have a barbecue. And
is he blessed by the sovereign saint of freedom? Or
I always thought it was funny because his dad is straight off the boat from England, and he had his first kid on the 4th of July. So, but yeah, we're going to do that. And this weekend, one of my other friends, his dad just bought a boat. Nice. Cool. 29-foot ocean boat.
Nice.
So we're going to go over to Catalina Island for Saturday and Sunday. Just hang out.
Very cool. I'm actually
soak up some rays, drink some brewskis.
I'm going to Catawba Island here in Ohio on Saturday. My good friend of mine is having a party up at his place on the lake, so that'll be cool. And I will be riding my American motorcycle, mind you, Harley Davidson. So, yeah, America, you know, blah, 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 blah. God, that was...
America, F yeah.
F yeah, baby. That's us.
I hope you guys have a happy 4th of July. It's
I'm going to have a nice cup of freedom.
So
actually, when I was visiting my mom out in Illinois, one of the parts of the heartland in America, we went to this
true Americans in the heartland.
Better believe it.
We went to this like outlet store.
Oh God.
And I was just walking around because my mom, we were going to some dinner that night, and my mom wanted to get me a button-up shirt to wear because I didn't bring one with me because I wasn't expecting it. It's like, okay, fine, whatever. So we're walking around the store, and I see on the wall there's these boxes that are shaped like T-shirts, these cardboard boxes that look like tiny T-shirts. I'm like, the hell is that? I walk over, and at first you see all the designs of those shirts that have like the wolves on them.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Well, I was looking at those. I'm like, oh, these are always hilarious. I didn't actually think I could find some place that they sold these. Well, they had one where they had this bald eagle perched on a branch with its wings spread, and inside this of its wings are the reflection of the American flag, and a lightning bolt coming down behind it. And I'm just like, I'm buying that shirt and wearing it every Memorial Day and 4th of July from here until the end of time. So.
Yes, if you really want to have fun, Zach, go to the local Walmart and check out the $3.99 selection of America shirts. You'll get a real big kick out of it.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I was very close to buying a USA back to back World War champion.
God, those are the greatest things ever.
But then I was going to, but then I saw somebody actually made a point, and I was like, you know what? That's actually very. Smart and a reason why I'm never going to buy one of those shirts now. I always wanted one, but then somebody put it in perspective for me. Imagine if I had gone by like a World War II veteran wearing that hat.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the reaction? They wouldn't be like, wars aren't a game, son.
Yeah, so just wait. They'll all be dead another 10 years, then you can buy one and not worry about it.
You mean the war? the both wars that you guys entered in late?
Like I said, during tomorrow's Germany France game, at halftime, Jurgen Klinsmann's going to have to come over. The French are going to be down at half. And the Americans are going to have to come over and bail them out. Yep. We're going to lend them a couple players, and we're still in this.
We're still in it. As long as France is in it, we're still in it.
Yep.
All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up. Let's do what's that thing I always do, the plug thing here.
Yes.
Follow us at Basically Sports on Twitter. The website is basicallyasportsshow.com. You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and, of course, YouTube. Mike, a quick plug for Basically a Geek Show.
We still don't know what we're going to talk about.
All right.
Nothing has really happened. It's been a slow week, so yes.
How was Transformers?
Wait a minute. Here's how you do this. How was Transformers? What did Mike think of it? Tune into Basically a Geek Show number 21 to find out.
Tune into I liked it is the short version. I thought it was much improved.
Was Mark Wahlberg acceptable?
Mark Wahlberg plays a Texan with a Boston accent.
Nice. And it's
it's that clip you see in the trailers. He's like, guys, I think I found a Transformer.
Out back by the car.
Hey,
in the barn.
Say hello to your mother for me.
By the way, you guys, I think I found a shirt that's more American than Zach's.
Uh-oh.
That's impossible.
Here it is.
Deny this claim. It says couldn't connect the database.
Yeah, same here.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is Hulk Hogan. He is ripping his shirt while standing on top of a bald eagle that is made out of a tank and a jet fighter.
I've seen that, yeah. I just get a boombox to just like hold on my shoulders and play "I Am a Real American."
And to think this is the same country that put a man on the moon—hard to believe.
It's America, baby.
I'd like to think that even though the song was not written yet, through some freedom-powered time paradox, that song just burst out as soon as Neil Armstrong stepped onto the moon.
That was played as soon as Thomas Jefferson put his signature on the
Declaration of Independence?
Yeah.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up. We will see you all next week right here on Basically a Sports Show.
Happy America Day!
Happy America Day. Better believe it.
try again.